This morning's scripture reading will be taken from Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 32, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Again, that's Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 32. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.'"
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Today we're beginning a new series of these discussions that are being led by the elders at the first service on Sunday mornings. A little different type of series for the next several weeks through the end of March, actually. The title of the theme of these lessons is our night scenes from the Bible. So each lesson will focus on a different significant biblical event that was set at night. And so the earliest one of those in Scripture that I could find was the fact that the nation of Israel can trace their beginning to their exodus from Egyptian bondage. And the first Passover was the final event of a series of events in the struggle between God and the Pharaoh of Egypt, who thought he could resist God. And so we're going to talk about this Passover night this morning in the time that we have allotted in for this study. Okay, now I don't know why I'm getting all those things. Okay, so the first thing we want to do is talk about some critical events that lead up to the Passover night that set the stage for it. And I think we could go back at least into the immediate present of this event and say that the call of Moses, which is recorded in Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, could be viewed in one sense to be the start of these events. The people had gone into Egypt. Joseph had protected his immediate family during the famine, but they had grown from that 70 people that had originally gone into Egypt to be a large nation within a nation, and had become oppressed by the Egyptians. And in Exodus chapter 3, we have the event of Moses being called to service to God when he saw the burning bush as he was keeping the flocks of his father-in-law. And beginning in Exodus 3 and verse 7, it says, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, and furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." Of course, there's a lot of things in the very story of the call of Moses that would make for an interesting study. But in terms of this particular lesson, it is just simply noted that begins God's declaration that it is time for him to deliver the children of Israel and that he is ready to give them the land that he had promised to their forefather Abraham. And so Moses then confronts Pharaoh. And again, we're going to skip over a lot of that detail. But it ultimately has Moses, as he comes before Pharaoh, and in Exodus 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And afterwards Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." And so the basic framework is framed there. It's created that we have God, who is the God of these people, and he is saying, "This is what I want." And we have an earthly ruler who considers himself to be powerful, and the Egyptians of that day were indeed powerful, as the way the world looks at it. And he says, "I don't know who God is, and I'm not paying attention to this God. I have my purpose, I have my will," and so a conflict of will is recorded. So with that then comes God dealing with this question or this challenge by Pharaoh, because Pharaoh, as we have just noticed, says, "Well, who is this God? Who is this one who thinks he can tell me, the Pharaoh, what to do?" And we all know there are 10 plagues, and this lesson highlights the 10th of those plagues. But God, in my way of looking at it, he simply says, "Well, you want to know who I am? Let me show you who I am. Let me show you my power compared to the power of you Egyptians." And so this series of 9 plagues that takes up about 3 chapters in the book of Exodus creates this test between God's power and Pharaoh's stubborn personal will. And so I'm sure that at one time you probably could do these all by memory. I'd have to refresh myself. I'll be honest with you. I haven't done the little kids' classes and stuff like that in a long time. I think I could get all 10 of them, but I don't know I could get all 10 of them in order, and that's as honest as I know how to be about that. But the bottom line is I think we're all familiar with these, that it started with turning the water of the Nile into blood. And then when that was taken away, then came the frogs. And that was taken away, and then came the lice. And if you'll remember the pattern of that, each time Pharaoh initially says, "If you'll take this away, I'll change my mind. I'll let the people of Israel..." First it was to go out to worship. That was the first request. And they were going to come back. But then ultimately it becomes that God is going to take them totally away. And so we go through the series of the nine plagues that end with the locust. And Pharaoh persists in this pattern of hardening his heart again after saying, okay, I'll relent, I'll do what God wants, and says, I will not do it. And so this brings us to the tenth and final of the plagues, and that is the death of the firstborn that is very intricately connected with this Passover night. So with that in mind, then comes the matter of the first Passover. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, we have this reading. Now, the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs along with its entrails, and you shall not leave any of it over until morning. But whatever is left of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So when we look at this reading in general, there's a couple of observations we would make about it. First of all, the new beginning of the nation of Israel is more or less symbolized in the fact that God says, from now on, as far as this group of people is concerned, this is the first month of the year. This is the beginning of your year. It was the beginning of them as an independent nation, ultimately. So this is going to be the beginning of your calendar. The second thing I would observe, as far as I know, of the first nine plagues, they did not affect the area where the children of Israel lived. But the children of Israel didn't have to do anything to keep the plague from affecting them. God just spared them because he did not have the plague afflict that particular area, the land of Goshen. But now we find that with this tenth plague, that God very much gives them an observance, gives them things that they must do in order for them not to be touched by this plague. So, in a sense, you see this little graduation, I guess, or a little change of situation. Before, just all you had to do was be an Israelite and living in the land where the Israelites live, and God provided you the protection against the plague. Now you're going to have to be a faithful Israelite, because God is going to tell you this is what you have to do. And the obvious inference from that is if you don't do it, then you're not protected from this plague any more than any Egyptian is protected from this plague. So it's a separation process. And the Bible doesn't really tell us about any large number of Israelites who disobey, but I believe that we understand from this that had they not observed the Passover as they're instructed, had they not put the blood on their doorpost and not done these things, then what he says is you're not protected from the plague. And so I think the other thing that is interesting, because we tend to look at this the Passover as a particular day, and it is, but you notice that it really was a process. It began on the 10th day of the month when they selected their sacrificial lamb and they made the arrangement to eat the Passover. And then the lamb was not sacrificed until the 14th day of the month. And they did that all together as a communal observance. The other details that were of significance is, since, again, this is something that's happening at night, that's part of our theme for these lessons, if you notice, they are not to kill the lamb until twilight. Then they prepare and they eat the meal. This is a night meal in preparation for the fact that about midnight is when the angel of the Lord is going to pass through from the people. And so they prepared and they ate this Passover as instructed. I think one of the significant verses, and there's many verses like this in the Scripture, but verses like this we need to call to mind on a regular basis because they're significant. Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. That's verses like that we need to pay attention to. When God says, here's what I want you to do, it's really a good thing for you to do exactly what God told you to do. And so in this case, they observed this first Passover exactly as the instructions had been given them by God. And the result of that was their deliverance. So in verse 29 of Exodus chapter 12, we're told that at midnight the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the highest of the land, the Pharaoh himself, to the lowest, including those who were imprisoned. As well as the animals, and it affected everyone. There wasn't a single home, it says, where someone wasn't affected by the passing through of the death angel. And the result of that is that at least momentarily, the will of Pharaoh is broken. And he says, I don't want to have anything more to do with you. You take your flocks and your herds, and you go, and you go to your God, and you do what you need to do, and you ask Him to bless me. And so there's at least a momentary act of submission on the part of Pharaoh as a result of this. And so Moses states the significance of this, and we said, you know, this is the night in which God freed His people. There's a lot of things that happen with this. But the way Moses sums it up at the end of the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus is that the end of 430 years to the very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be observed for the Lord, for having brought them out of the land of Egypt, this night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel through their generation. And in keeping with the theme, I want you to notice what Moses said about it. He says it is a night to be observed. And if you remember even to the New Testament, when Jesus met with His disciples right before His betrayal to observe the Passover, when did they observe it? They did it at night. It was an evening meal. Because they were to remember that this was the night that God spared them from the bondage of Egypt and brought them out. So I hope that you found that interesting. Didn't realize I was calling on you to do double duty, Miles, when I picked you to do the Bible reading, but it says you have the prayer also. So Miles will lead us in prayer, and then we will be dismissed to our classes.